Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. If you want to read along in your pew Bible, it's on page 122 in the latter section, in the New Testament section. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane. What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is holy wisdom. Holy Word. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, speak to us in this time and in this space. May your Spirit move us. May your Spirit move in me. Oh God, speak through me, speak in spite of me. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, oh God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So we are in the season of Easter. This is the Easter season, the season of the resurrection. We've been talking over the past few weeks about how this season of Easter and the season of resurrection is not just about God raising Jesus to life, but about stories to tell, about how the risen Christ is at work in the world, raising people from captivity to death. And the way that I'd like to talk about that Holy Spirit at work today is through the phrase, "When God queers our lives." When God queers our lives. When God raises us out of captivity to death, God is queering our lives.
Now let me explain what I mean by queering. We talked about this last summer, actually quite a bit in our summer sermon series last summer. That's really hard to say quickly, so no wonder I'm tongue-tied. But historically, the word queer has meant peculiar or strange. In the 19th century, the word queer became a derogatory term used against people primarily of same-sex orientation. But in the 1980s, queer scholars and activists began to reclaim that term, taking out the negativity, making it into a term of pride. And today, the word queer is often used as an inclusive umbrella term to refer to folks in the LGBTQIA+ community. However, umbrella terms have their limitations. And for example, not all transgender folk would identify as queer. Some trans folk identify as straight or heterosexual. Sometimes folks choose to identify as queer because identifying as lesbian or gay feels too limiting, feels too narrow of a definition. And queer, because it's kind of a fluid term, feels like it can embrace that their identity better. So the word is multifaceted and in its meaning, and it's often used to talk about folks in the LGBTQIA community and by those folks, but not always used by those by folks in the LGBTQIA community to describe themselves. And that's important for us to recognize, and it's also another way that we need to remember to ask one another and to honor and respect the ways that people want to be identified and understand themselves. So that's a little background. But what I want to claim today for our purposes is an understanding of the word queer from the perspective of queer theory. Reverend Elizabeth Erdman, who is a priest, she's a queer priest, author of the book Queer Virtue, she says the word queer has at its center the impulse to disrupt any and all efforts to reduce into simplistic dualisms our experience of life and of God. It is the impulse to disrupt any and all efforts to reduce into simplistic dualisms our experience of life and of God. Simplistic dualisms. That's either or thinking. So you are either male or female. You are either gay or straight. There is either light or darkness. There is either being alive or being dead. There is even, and this has to do with our understandings of God too, God is either angry or gentle. God is either loving or just. You see, queering is about disrupting that either-or thinking. It's because it doesn't speak adequately to our lived experience or our experience of God in our life. In our sermon series last summer, we talked about how Christianity itself is queer in the sense that Reverend Erdman is speaking about, not just in terms of gender and sexuality, though that's part of it, but all of the many components of Christian life and faith. Christian life is queer life. Jesus, remember, he challenged simplistic dualisms, sacred versus profane. He disrupted those simplistic dualisms. He touched unclean, quote-unquote, unclean bodies. He healed people on the Sabbath. He would welcome children and women and gender non-conforming people into his life and around the table of God, into spaces that were only reserved for men at the time. Jesus disrupted false dualisms of who is in and who is out in terms of your family, who you understand your family to be, and who God welcomes. Jesus disrupted those kinds of dualisms. And this queering, of course, doesn't always work for me. I have my own simplistic dualisms that I like. Whether that be the way I label people as either a Trump supporter / racist, or you're a progressive, non-racist, like me, right? This is also a false binary. It feels good, though, to see myself as separate from those who are not like me and who are obviously wrong, right? We have to be honest, too, at how we like certain binaries when they work for us and make us feel more righteous about ourselves. But somehow, deep inside, we know that these binaries are false. They don't adequately speak to what is true about us as people, that we actually are very much connected, and that, as Peter said after his vision, we ought to not make such grand distinctions between us and them. Because for any transformation to really take place, somehow, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have to begin to break down this polarization that makes us believe that we're so separate from each other. What I want to say to us this morning is that Christian life, the resurrection life, is about allowing God to queer our lives in that sense of disrupting the false binaries that we have set up. This story this morning from Acts 11 is an incredible story. I'm just curious, is this the first time anyone has heard this story here? Or is this the first time anyone's heard this story? No, sort of? Relatively new. Okay, a few people, maybe for the first time, or it's been a long time, maybe, since you've heard this story. I had heard this story before, but when I was coming out in my 20s, I read this story again, and it felt like a lightning bolt from the Spirit. I had been having conversations with people in my family at that time who were truly concerned that my queerness was a kind of profanity and that a kind of an abomination in the sight of God. And then in the midst of having these conversations, I read this story and I heard the sentence that Peter heard three times from heaven, like cleansing water upon my own life. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. Now remember, this is Peter who we're talking about here. We're talking about Peter who betrayed Jesus. Remember, way back in season of Lent, we read about Peter who failed. He betrayed Jesus, but then the risen Christ came to him. We read this just a couple weeks ago, offered him forgiveness, and raised him out of his captivity to despair, and then called him again to love people, to love him, to love Jesus, and to feed my sheep. Jesus said, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Peter probably heard that call clearly as a call to the house of Israel, to love his Hebrew siblings, God's flock, God's sheep. Those were the folks to whom Peter was called. But it's like the risen Christ keeps showing up again in Peter's life and queering those lines of separation for Peter, expanding his vision of who is in and who is out. Because here we are again. Peter's here again. And this time he has a visionary experience where he sees unclean food and is told to eat that. And then he says, no way, I would never eat that unclean food. But then the voice from the heavens assures Peter that what he thought was profane, what even his own religious system taught him to believe was profanity, is no longer. And Peter is confronted by the truth that his religious system could, in fact, be playing a part in excluding people from God's welcome table, and not only excluding them, but criminalizing them in some way by pronouncing them profane. What a story of a witness like Peter who is coming to terms with the radical implications of the gospel that disrupt those false binaries that are set up within his own religious tradition. This means that if we believe the risen Christ is still alive today, then the risen Christ is still going about disrupting those false binaries that have been set up and proven harmful even within our own religious traditions. That is actually the work of the Spirit. God queering our lives. I thank God that Peter was open to God's movement in his life. Thank God that Peter worshiped a living God in community and that he didn't worship just his religious tradition, because sometimes those two get mixed up for us. We have to be hearing the way that the living God is speaking into our lives. How open are we like Peter? How open are we to God's ongoing creativity in our lives, to God moving and calling us into new ways of understanding, new ways of living out the revolutionary implications of the gospel? And then I think about the witness of the Gentiles in this story. Think about all the people who are labeled profane in our world. What are the ways that we do that, not just in our world, but in our churches, in our religious systems? Profane because of the color of your skin. Profane because of your sexual orientation. Profane because of your gender identity, or because of your religion, or because of the clothing you wear, or your housing status, or your physical and mental ability. Profane for all manner of otherness. These folk are pushed to the margins. These folk who are pushed to the margins are folk who in this story today are claiming their God-given cleanness in a world, and often in a church, that has pronounced them profane. I'm remembering from our sermon series last summer, we lifted up the witness of someone whose name is Asher O'Callaghan. He is a Christian minister now, and he's transgender. And Asher says that God not only knit him together in his mother's womb, but that God continues to knit him together even as he grows into adulthood. He says, God is still creating me. God is still creating me. Just like we sang about this morning through that song that Pax Wrestler wrote for us. God is still creating. God is not disgusted or displeased by Asher's transitioning. No, neither did God make a mistake in creating Asher. God is still creating and transforming his body. And one of the ways that Asher witnesses to us is about the power of God queering his life in such a way that he's able to claim his God-given sacredness in a world and often in churches that pronounce him profane. The witness of the Gentiles on the margins of this story is moving to me because the Holy Spirit has been with them all along. Peter is the one who's just realizing it. It's a surprise to him, but these folk have had the Spirit all along. Queer and trans folk have had the Spirit all along. Not everyone realizes it. But you see how God works in our lives, opening people up, deepening the wells of compassion and connection with each other, breaking down false dividing walls that separate us from each other. The risen Christ is at work in our lives by queering our lives. And we have to be open to it because God will not force us to change. We have to allow the Spirit to work in us, to queer our lives so that those who have been pushed down and pushed aside can claim their God-given cleanness and sacredness. And those who are close to the center of power and privilege can be open to deep change within ourselves and open to the risen Christ rupturing our false binaries of who is in and who is out, who has the Spirit and who doesn't. Because as Peter says, if God is doing all this amazing work, who are we to hinder God? Who are we to hinder the risen Christ pulling people out of places of death into abundant life? And I wonder if we can use that "who are we to hinder God" as a prayer for us this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray. God, make us not stand in the way of your liberating work. Let us not hinder you. Make our church, this building, our bodies, not be a stumbling block to your welcome. May we be open like Peter to your continual creating in us, to your continual revelation in our lives, and to your transforming us more and more into your likeness. Amen. Amen. Amen.